Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. Kinda. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more regularly as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on March 23rd, 2020. And just so you know, some of this information may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast is filled with South Carolina news and stories that matter to you, your family, and your fellow South Carolinians during this uncertain time. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting from myself and South Carolina Public Radio reporters, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us your voice messages about what you're doing and how you're coping with the situation. And we also have resources and tips, and then we'll end all of this with a nice little wind-down section. And like I mentioned, we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, and to give us some tips or things you think we should know about. So leave us a message at 803-563-7169. A minute-long voicemail, just tell us what you're doing, what projects you're working on. Again, that number, 803-563-7169. Now, let's get into the latest news. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 has entered the acceleration phase, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 5 deaths out of 298 cases reported in 34 counties. This information is current as of March 23rd at 4:30 p.m. Now, just so you all know, the state jumped by 103 cases from Sunday to Monday, and some of that was due to a backlog in the testing. But state epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell said that the state is now in an acceleration phase. Listen to this.
Well, if you could picture in your mind a sort of a bell-shaped curve, we would be on the front end of the steep side of that curve. So we've transitioned to a flatter, slower uprise to a more rapid peak. Now, the how rapidly that increase occurs depends on how effective our measures are for community mitigation strategies. And so to be on that more rapid upslope is what we mean by the acceleration phase, and that is defined by ongoing transmission in communities in our state.
Governor Henry McMaster said that law enforcement now has the power to disperse crowds of more than 3 people at their discretion. Now, this doesn't apply to families taking a walk or businesses or homes. This is really a tool to disperse crowds from places like the beach or parks where there's a gathering of people, stuff like that. And again, there's no shelter-in-place order. Again, no shelter-in-place order. Kershaw County continues to be the epicenter of the COVID-19 pandemic in South Carolina. And nearby Richland County's dramatic increase is due in part to 11 University of South Carolina students and a professor testing positive. This according to the state newspaper. And now here are some key takeaways from the March 19th press conference. And just so you know, you can see all these important press conferences on all SCETV platforms, including South Carolina Public Radio. Now, the governor has ordered universities to transition to online classes for the rest of the semester. He also temporarily suspended procurement regulations to allow state agencies to rapidly acquire resources to combat the COVID-19 virus. DHEC will temporarily suspend enforcement of Certificate of Need regulations necessary to expedite treatment of the virus, which means a hospital bed could be in a place that's not a hospital, like a dorm, for example. The Department of Employment and Workforce is to waive all regulations to allow unemployment claims to be expedited by at least 1 week, and unemployment insurance payments are suspended for employers until June 1st. Here's some additional recent information. McMaster also ordered SLED and local law enforcement to disperse crowds on state beaches and said coastal residents can responsibly maintain social distance while enjoying our state's beaches. The U.S. Treasury and Internal Revenue Service issued guidance on delaying tax payments until July 15th. You still need to file a return or request a filing extension by April 15th. No additional filing is necessary for the payment extension. Now here's a big one. The U.S. Small Business Administration has approved Governor McMaster's request for the agency to offer South Carolina's small businesses disaster assistance. This disaster declaration means that South Carolina's small businesses that have suffered substantial economic injury as a result of the COVID-19 virus may qualify for low-interest federal disaster loans. All 46 counties are included in the disaster declaration. And the state Supreme Court has suspended evictions until after May 1st and placed a moratorium in master and equity courts statewide on foreclosure hearings and foreclosure sales. You can find out more about what's going on in the courts by visiting sccourts.org. Now, everything I just mentioned is on sceetv.org and the latest development story on our webpage, which features breaking South Carolina COVID-19 news in chronological order. Now, let's get into some more COVID-19 news and reporting in our state. That sound is National Guard troops helping push out the state's first shipment of supplies from the Strategic National Stockpile. South Carolina requested its full allocation of medical equipment from the Strategic National Stockpile, and DHEC received recently the first shipment of 55 pallets that contain N95 masks, face shields, surgical masks, gowns, and gloves. Additional shipments will be coming over the next 3 weeks. But DHEC Director Rick Toomey said last week that some hospitals are still facing supply shortages.
So the question was about testing supplies. They're limited across the state. Some places have more than others. We continue to work with the hospitals and doctor's offices with those supplies. As you can see from the numbers that DHEC has processed in our lab, the numbers are dramatically increasing. And it's a challenge. We can do as many tests in a day as we're getting. We're not limited by our volume. We're limited by the supplies, and we're working with the suppliers, the CDC, to get both the swabs, the kits, and the reagents for our machines that run the tests.
And just so you know, we'll be keeping a close eye on these supply issues going forward. Now here's the closest thing we're going to have to a campaign trail in this episode. We got a little state, we got a little federal news right here.
Brown liquor.
A week after Governor McMaster asked the General Assembly to pass a $45 million emergency funding bill, he signed it into law. This happened so quickly because senators amended a House-approved bill to include only this funding request for DHEC. Senators approved it on Tuesday and sent it back to the House Thursday, where lawmakers voted by voice vote, some socially distanced in the balcony, others from their desks, to concur with the changes. Within 15 minutes, the bill was hustled downstairs to the governor's desk, where it was signed while House Speaker Jay Lucas and Senate President Harvey Peeler looked on. The two joined other members of House leadership for a brief press gaggle afterwards, where the funding measure and the future of the budget and legislative session were discussed. Here's House Majority Leader Gary Simrell.
So as we continue moving forward in a very fluid situation, in uncharted waters, if you will, and moving forward, the esprit de corps that exists between the executive branch and the legislative branch proves itself daily, working with agencies, whether it's Department of Workforce, whether it's DHEC, whether it's Small Business Administration coming down from D.C., to make sure that benefits are provided, that we are on the go. Part of what we did today in a very rapid fashion was to make sure that the $45 million was ready for DHEC. I thank Senator Peeler for his efforts in the Senate to make this happen very quickly. You will see us continue to be fleet of foot with the sole purpose of protecting South Carolinians.
Now, will this $45 million for DHEC staffing, equipment, awareness, and more be enough? Well, House Speaker Jay Lucas shared his thoughts.
Is $45 million going to be enough? Given the spread of the disease as we have seen it, probably not. You know, we know we've got $9 million from the federal government. There are HHS reserves that Mr. Smith and I talked this morning about that we can make available. But there's going to have to be more money that we're going to have to put toward this crisis.
At this time, it's unclear when the House and Senate will return, though both are adamant that a budget will be in place by the new fiscal year, July 1st. In Washington, the U.S. Senate approved a $100 billion stimulus bill on March 18th by a vote of 90-8. Senator Tim Scott voted against the measure, which provides free COVID-19 testing, expanded unemployment benefits, and more. Scott issued a statement on this saying it could have disastrous effects for South Carolina's small businesses. Meanwhile, fresh from quarantine, Senator Lindsey Graham went on Fox News and said this after voting for the measure while previewing the bigger stimulus bill.
80% of the workforce is going to be impacted by the containment policies. The money we're spending to deal with health care is going to pale in comparison with the money we spend to stabilize the economy. If you've been laid off today in South Carolina from a bar, a restaurant, or a hotel, I'm looking to make sure that we have wage replacement, that we replace your income as much as possible so that you don't have your life turned upside down. That's the number one goal of phase three for me.
You just heard Senator Graham talk about phase three, which is a $1.8 trillion economic rescue package. Now, it's still being worked through the U.S. Senate. I'm watching on CNN right now. They're still talking about it on Monday afternoon. So there's a lot of back and forth with the snags on what's in it for corporations. But according to CNBC, there would be cash payments of up to $1,200 for individuals, with up to $2,400 for couples. The sum would increase by $500 for every child. The check totals would start to phase out above $75,000 in adjusted gross income based on 2018 tax returns. Now, people with no federal tax liability would only get $600. But former Governor Nikki Haley isn't a fan of it, at least for any provisions that entails Boeing getting a bailout to the tune of around $60 billion. She resigned from the Boeing board saying, quote, "I cannot support a move to lean on the federal government for a stimulus or bailout that prioritizes our company over others and relies on taxpayers to guarantee our financial position." Hashtag 2024 watch. Closer to home, we are seeing the unemployment wave starting to wash over South Carolina. The Department of Employment and Workforce reported midweek last week that they experienced a 400% increase in claims. Now, unemployment checks average about $236 and are guaranteed for 6 weeks. In order to keep receiving benefits after those 6 weeks, you have to actively look for a job. The maximum amount of time you can receive benefits is 20 weeks. It's been almost a week since Governor McMaster ordered all bars and restaurant dining rooms closed to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. It's a move that is affecting small and large communities alike, especially in our cuisine capital, Charleston. Southcom Public Radio's Victoria Hansen has this report on how the industry is on the brink.
A man drags his luggage, easily crossing typically busy King Street in Charleston. Open parking spaces stretch on along empty sidewalks. It's Saturday night in one of the nation's top tourist destinations, but restaurants and bars are closed because of the coronavirus.
It's frighteningly, eerily quiet downtown.
Stephen Nikitas owns Stella's Restaurant, not far from King Street. He's had to lay off his entire hourly staff. Just a handful of workers keep the kitchen going.
Three all day.
As Nikitas and a manager pack up orders taken by phone for takeout.
Tzatziki is in one bag, hummus in the other bag. Yep.
Then run them out to customers who stay in their cars.
How are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Can I put it in the bag for you?
It'd be awesome.
Nikitas is just trying to survive. And a week in, he's hearing about casualties. Restaurant owners who already know they won't be able to reopen.
The fallout from this thing could be dramatic.
The food and beverage business is big in Charleston, a city in which tourism brings in $8.1 billion.
I'm really hoping that it will pick up more. And if it doesn't, I'll be able to hire more people back.
Nico Romo is the owner of Nico's Oysters and Seafood. He, too, is trying delivery and takeout. Large black and white signs advertising ordering online fill the windows of his empty restaurant. Nico has had to let most of his staff go. He's continuing their health insurance in case they get sick.
You know, for me, I think the country should have been shut down 3 weeks ago.
Nico and other restaurant owners agree the sooner the coronavirus is contained, the sooner they can try to get back to business. But they worry, will people even be able to dine out with so many losing their jobs?
It might come down to salary cuts. It might come down to just me doing what I can to salvage anything.
Christopher Marr is the executive chef at Betty Lou's Bistro. He's trying to maximize their inventory and keep employees, if even for one shift. He's changing the menu, moving away from their most popular item, fried seafood.
To be cheaper, to compete with the grocery stores, we're offering fried chicken right now.
Thinking outside of the box and coming up with plan A, plan B, plan C.
That's Andrea Parco, the office manager for Dine with Sal's Restaurant Group. Her husband, Sal, runs two restaurants, but is back to cooking as they switch to takeout. She says it's been tough to let staff go, especially when they feel so much like family. Some are volunteering in exchange for food from their pantry.
I don't think I can put words into how we feel, actually.
I think the implications of this particular endemic is going to be felt for months, even years.
Megan Deshane was just laid off from her job downtown as a bar manager.
And I'm honestly scared. I the best is just to think in the short term, right, and manage our manageables.
It's the first time in her life, after working in bars for 12 years, that she's had to apply for unemployment. DeShane's finding the system, much like herself, overwhelmed.
The gag has always been whether, you know, the economy is healthy or if we're in recession, people still drink, that the bar industry is protected.
But protection has been hard to come by from a virus without a vaccine that has several states mandating people shelter in place with no word on how long.
No, I could not ever have anticipated something like this. I never considered the fact that the entire economy would shut down.
For more on the story, go to SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org.
It's not only the thousands of service industry jobs like those in food and bev, hospitality, and other service industry folks like my barber Martha at Circa Barbershop in Charleston, but big industry is reeling from this virus as well. Two of the state's automotive manufacturing giants, Volvo and BMW, have announced they are temporarily closing down March 26 and April 3rd, respectively. This and other economic decisions happening around the world will affect volume out of the Port of Charleston by an estimated 15 to 20%, according to Jim Newsom, who is the CEO of the South Carolina Ports Authority. And he said this in a March 20th video online.
We had a good February. We're looking at volumes being down in March and April, probably 15 to 20% as a direct result of the Chinese New Year and the post-Chinese New Year slowdown due to the coronavirus. We think that May and June will snap back. We're getting some indications about extra loaders and things of that nature. So we're prepared to handle that. The port is going to be open for business on normal hours. That's our plan today.
So we're in some very difficult economic circumstances, and as you can see, the markets are feeling it as well. So be on the lookout for the Phase 3 stimulus coming out of Washington this week. And also, if you're ordering stuff online to your house, which you've probably been doing more of, you're probably wondering, can I get COVID-19 from the package? Now that's highly improbable, according to Dr. Jack Caravanos, a clinical professor of environmental public health sciences at the NYU School of Global Public Health. He told that to CBS News, due to the length of the journey and the harsh conditions the package face, it's just not probable, folks. And in our health focus section, little Bobby Connor shout out there, we are expecting to see more testing capacity and capabilities coming online, with drive-through testing happening in places like in Kershaw starting this week. And Victoria Hansen tells me that this week, MUSC is getting the ability to test the samples it collects through their drive-through, which has been in place for 2 weeks. This is a huge addition to the state's testing capabilities, which includes DHEC and other private labs. Now remember, if you think you have these symptoms, fever, dry cough, shortness of breath, use the telehealth resources available or call your doctor as a preferred first step to kind of get diagnosed and to see if you need to go forward to go to your hospital to get tested. And if you are going to go ahead with that and get tested, be sure to call ahead so they know you're coming. Several hospitals are also restricting visitor access, so be aware of that. Hospitals have built isolation units. Others have erected inflatable tents to screen patients, drive-through sampling collection is underway, and hospitals are now planning with the SC National Guard on where and when field hospitals would be set up to handle any potential spike or surge. But when would a spike, something that everyone is trying to prevent by flattening the curve, happen? It's still a bit of an unknown, and hopefully it won't happen if we continue to social distance. But I recently spoke with epidemiology professor Melissa Nolan from the Arnold School of Health at the University of South Carolina about modeling and what we might be able to expect.
So we do have some decent models out there which can predict, saying initially before we kind of went into what's happened in the last week with all these new mitigation techniques, thinking that it might peak around April, late May. I would say now that we're trying to flatten the curve and extend that out, I think it's going to be potentially at least through the end of the summer, if not even into the fall. The reality is we probably aren't going to lessen to a large extent the number of people that are going to be infected through this. What we're trying to do is stretch it out so that we can have those healthcare resources available. So as we are hearing now a little bit more in Italy, how they were having to make these big decisions that they had more people needing ventilators than they had ventilators available. So we're trying to keep the number of people consistently under the threshold of what we have available resources so that when people do get infected and if they develop severe disease, we have the capacity and the resources to take care of them.
And we even had one prominent South Carolinian, former Governor David Beasley, who's the head of the World Food Program, announce that he has tested positive for COVID-19. In a letter, he said, "I began feeling unwell this past weekend after returning to my home in the United States from an official visit to Canada, and I took an early decision to go into self-quarantine 5 days ago. So far, my symptoms have been relatively light, and I'm in good spirits." South Carolina Public Radio's Vince Colbelugo has this additional insight on the supply chain issues affecting hospitals in our state, especially in rural areas.
In other news, rural communities already face healthcare disparities when it comes to access and availability to treatment, and now they have to contend with the spread of an infectious disease like COVID-19. Dr. Kevin Bennett is a professor at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine and director of research and evaluation for the Center for Rural and Primary Healthcare. He says in some cases, care providers are lower priority for medical supply vendors.
I've read of rural hospitals having trouble resupplying because vendors are prioritizing larger orders first. So, you know, they're talking about gloves and hand sanitizer being back ordered through April.
All right. Thank you, Vince, for that report. Relax. That's the message I want to start our wind down section with, which comes from State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman, who last week reassured thousands of parents out there who are now new teachers who are juggling jobs and figuring out e-learning and schedules and conference calls and web video and all that stuff. You know, like math, like God bless you parents out there. Don't ask me for any math. But Spearman said districts will be understanding going forward with students and understanding that parents are in these difficult situations. Take a listen.
I would say to parents, we understand, particularly in our healthcare workers, how difficult this is. Do the best you can. Do the best you can with your students, and don't feel that you have to put undue stress on yourself or your children to get the materials in. We're going to be very, very understanding of that, and we realize that we may be in this for the long haul. So everyone relax, and I can promise you, your educators in your school and certainly at the Department of Education, we're going to do everything we possibly can to give the flexibility to our students.
Many of our listeners lived through 9/11 and the Great Recession. I didn't think we'd be back this soon, slash ever. But I also remember living through the D.C. sniper threat in high school and the anthrax mailings. We've gone to war. We're still at war. But yes, this feels like all of this at once. So it is stressful and hard to keep that stiff upper lip. But people are showing their better sides, and as much that can be done is being done. And speaking of British stiff upper lip, here's 85-year-old actress Dame Judi Dench with just a little advice.
Oh, there you are. Just keep laughing. That's all we can do.
The best M ever, let's just admit it. And again, this is our wind-down section. Grab a glass of wine or tea if you're trying to, you know, limit how much you're drinking during these times, which is important, guys. But we want to hear from you and get a laugh or two. And to do that, we need you to call right now. Our lines are open at 803-563-7169. What more do you want us to do, people? Tell us how you're coping with all this. This is a new normal, and we're all in this together. So what are you doing? How are you coping? What is being a teacher like? Or what project are you working on instead of going out to the bars or restaurants? Yeah, have you reached the bottom of Netflix? I know someone's going to. Like, tell me the worst movie you've watched, and maybe we'll go watch and review it. Again, leave us a message at 803-563-7169, and you might get on the pod. Oh my God, what's that? Where is that music coming from?
Hey, Gav.
Oh, hey, that's my good friend Grace Dobush, and she's doing a Facebook Live karaoke session from her Berlin flat with a brush marker for a microphone. Look at that.
And you comb your hair, grab your coat and hat. I'm bored, like many people right now, and it's gorgeous outside where I cannot go. And so I have decided to karaoke inside, and maybe you'll do the same. Then I can watch you and you watch me, and we encourage each other, maybe make suggestions of what songs to do.
And that's just one example of how folks are getting through this, staying entertained and positive. Now, let's check the old voicemail and see what calls we have here. Hello, caller, go ahead.
Hey, Gavin. Just want to say, long-time fan, first-time caller. Getting a lot of work done here in this quarantine. Got my dogs here, hanging out with my dogs. Restructuring my student loans. Looking into ways to maximize my lines of credit. Playing lots of video games. Rehashing my lead podcast, you know, looking at all that, trying to keep my business afloat. And obviously doing a lot of self-reflection. So we miss you guys. Look forward to hearing you.
We appreciate you, Logan. And pop by if you're in Lexington, downtown Lexington. You can go see him at Hazelwood Brewing. And we were a little dry in the voicemails this week, but hey, this is one voicemail box that's never full. So leave us a message, 803-563-7169. So I'm going to jump to AT, our producer slash dank meme lord. Check out Instagram to find out how he's been coping and maybe what you've been watching or shows that are different.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a very weak man. I'm an indoor cat. I'm a reader.
Indoor kid.
Yeah. So, but I am stoked on the show called Forged in Fire. Mm-hmm. If anyone likes knives, sharp things, stabbing. It's on History Channel, and every episode they either stab ballistic gel humans or chop goats in half.
My, not a real goat.
Real goats sometimes. It's crazy. And there are 5,000 episodes, and you can watch a million in a row.
That's the kind of math I like.
Yeah, it's great. What have you been doing?
Well, I have been very busy trying to keep this podcast going, and this week in South Carolina, so I've been looking for sound and moments wherever I can find it, including in my backyard, some backyard audio, because that's right. Spring is officially here, folks. I actually had to take my car to the car wash because it was so caked in pollen.
When it started raining the other day, I just pulled mine out of the driveway just to get it wet.
And I'll tell you the best thing about this past Saturday, as you can still hear this wonderful nature in the background, it was a true joy because I got to wake up and there was no leaf blower. People that know me, they know I just can't do leaf blowers. I mean, Saturday morning, you're like, okay, like
everyone has that one neighbor who starts mowing their lawn at 7:45 in the morning.
But you know, if social distancing does anything, I hope it just knocks out the leaf blowers. But I've also been walking. I've been doing like 20 to 30 minute walks around the neighborhood, which is just like, it changes your mood pretty quick. So definitely do that. Also calling up friends. I don't do FaceTime. I don't want to see my face. I know everyone wants to video chat, but guys, I am a 90s kid that wants to talk on the phone.
I had a 45-minute long FaceTime with my parents yesterday to teach them how to FaceTime. Oh. And I spent most of the time with the camera on their side pointing towards the ground and crying. Mm. Awful.
And just to wrap up here, there's also a great piece on isolation from astronaut Scott Kelly, who spent nearly a year in space. Y'all, this man could not even go outside, okay? So let's just put that in some perspective. I know that was his choice, though, but there you go. And don't forget to check out our show notes because we have great links to all the stuff we talked about. And you can find that on scetv.org/SCLEDE. And this was another important pod with a lot, and there's plenty more. We just couldn't fit in there, but don't worry. We're going to be doing these pods from here on out. This is our new normal. And just a reminder to shut the news off every now and then, maybe tune into the governor's press conference every other day around 4:30, and understand that we can only do so much. But do try and do as much for others as you can, as safely as you can. And the lead is here for you, our community, throughout this week and as this situation continues to develop. We are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.